You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Download the brand new Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere with notifications that bark at you, as a matter of fact, from the team straight to your phone. You can also stream our show or get it on demand after the fact. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. And while I was away this past week, I had the luxury, and it was pretty great, of actually sitting down at the pool,
right,
put my headphones in, had my Browns app open, and I was streaming CBD with you and Reg.
Nice.
It was great.
I'm cracking up here. This is a tweet from Justin. He says, any way we fans can get a picture of Vic on the money phone? Pretty sure it would be a hit. We have to work on that.
We're going to work on that.
I don't have enough. We don't, between the two of us, I don't know if we could stack up enough of those bills. You might be able to. I can't stack up enough bills to create that kind of money phone.
Well,
Miz was in here. We should have
we'll pull our resources.
His resources.
That's right. We'll pull our resources.
Here's what I wanted to say before. When you're going down the road that Johnny's been on, and this isn't a new road, but he's been on this road and staying on it into the NFL. It opens the door wide open for what I call manufactured controversy. You give people a reason to find something, whether it's there or not. And maybe it will be there. But for the most part, it doesn't matter because the size of that target gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the fact that there is no football being played, the fact that there's nothing else to do except talk about this, only enhances that target, just makes it huge. I think about this isn't a perfect comparison because of the differences of their position and the way they're in the league and the way they join the Browns. But there's a part of me that's thinking about Peyton Hillis in this regard. He comes over from Denver and then has his monster breakout season with the Browns as a running back. He gets on the cover of Madden. And it's all the only good thing that people saw in this Browns team was this guy named Hillis, and he represented the toughness and the hardcore nature that Eric Mangini is trying to project as a power team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, it moves forward into more issues that were troubling about away from the game, off the field, what teammates were thinking about him, and generally how the stardom changed him, how becoming the face of the Browns and a face of the league and the Madden cover guy and the guy that got a lot of love nationally. I remember at that draft that when they were touting the whole Madden thing, I was there for NFL.com and he's doing all these national interviews. And it went downhill very quickly because of his inability to handle that. Now, there might have been other factors into this, but bottom line, his whole Browns career veered and went sideways
fast
for a guy and under the general heading of couldn't handle the success. So this is where I think some of this comes into play here, because eventually teammates were more than happy to say goodbye to Peyton Hillis. And what I don't want to see happen, because some of those guys are still on this team who were happily saying goodbye to Hillis, don't want them to have that feeling about a Johnny Manziel for all the wrong reasons. I think he can change the narrative. When he gets to play, Hillis had written a good narrative that he rewrote into something worse. So it's not the exact same, but I do think there's some lessons to be learned from that, and I think the cautionary tale from that should matter.
It should matter, but I think this is a guy who's already – this isn't new. This is somebody who's been doing this. He's comfortable with
record.
It.
He's performed with it at the collegiate level.
I got two tweets that I got to read, and we're going to go to the phones. Number one's from our guy at CharlieBlue47, who's a big fan of the show, interacts a lot. I like what he has to say 99% of the time. This one I don't really agree with, and Vic, I want your take on it. He says, I can't believe you guys are in full-blown apologist/enabler mode. On field is all that matters, two words, Josh Gordon. Okay, this is the only time that I feel that I even need to say this. In my mind, there's a big difference between doing an illegal drug and a banned substance in the National Football League repeatedly, as someone who was kicked out of or asked to leave multiple colleges because of that, had to enter the NFL in a supplemental draft, and had clearly a track record of a problem. Partying is not illegal. Partying is not illegal. Going out and having drinks with your friends is not going to get you on. You're not going to violate the substance abuse policy, anything like that. Now, if he was out getting a bunch of DUIs, that would be a problem. That's also illegal. He isn't doing that. At this point, what he's doing is having a good time, and it's providing somewhat of a distraction to some segment. Now, if it becomes a distraction here in this building to the leadership and to the players, that's where it becomes an issue. That's why a comment like the one from Paul Krueger we referenced earlier in the show, it becomes a little bit concerning. Mm-hmm. Now, if everybody just handles their business and lives up to what they are supposed to do for this team, everybody will be just fine. But I don't think it's any way similar or in any way, shape, or form on par with Josh Gordon or enabling him to do Josh Gordon things. This is talking about a guy who's going out and having a fun time as a young man and is taking care of business on the field, which we, by the way, won't see until later on this season. The other thing, for the people who are saying this guy represents Northeast Ohio and this guy represents is doing this, doing that, isn't it good? Wouldn't it be nice to have someone who seems worldly and worldly important as representing Northeast Ohio instead of, you know, yes, it is in many ways a blue-collar town, but having someone who seems maybe a little bit grander of a scale, that's not a bad thing, someone who can work hard and play hard. By the way, the most beloved member of this team, that at least in my mind, Bernie Kosar, was a guy who, if there were cell phones around, was definitely working hard and playing hard in his day.
There's a give take to the worldly thing you're talking about, and it's recognition. But the give take is, or the price that you pay is you invite a high level of criticism, second guessing, bashing, hating, whatever you want to call it, to go along with creating relevance for the team and putting the team on the map.
Most tweeted about team in the NFL,
and for sure. Now, right now, those aren't. This weekend and maybe the other weekends, I wouldn't put those under the best categories for that attention because, and the other thing is, I don't think it's also necessary to have that each weekend because it's already understood he's a topic. I get questions. I spent a good portion of my weekend in New York and heard all kinds of Johnny Manziel. That's all anyone wants to ask me about. And that's my anecdotal barometer for things. People who I've spoken with know I've been affiliated with this team now going on 4 seasons. I've not heard anywhere near the level of questions about what this team is about, what I do with this team, or anything, any concern about it at social functions and such as I've heard since Johnny Manziel joined the Browns. And by the way, they're not all about Johnny Partier. This was, you know, obviously prior to this latest video coming out. So the questions had much more to do with what kind of football player is he and how excited do you have to be here? Most of it's favorable. Most of it is a positive sense. And these people identify themselves as Johnny Manziel fans, right, from his collegiate level, who are now curious and fanatical about the idea that he could do some special things in the NFL. And by the way, they're not Browns fans per se. In fact, right. In many cases, the ones I talked with were Bills fans, but Manziel fans. They because that's how it is in the NFL now, right? With fandom, you can fantasy football does this too. You can adopt individuals from other teams,
for
and
sure.
you do, and we all do to some degree. All right, but anyway, that's that on that topic. 216-578-0850. Lots of calls to get to. Denny in Garfield Heights. Denny, what's up?
Hey Vic, how are you?
Good,
great
my friend.
Show. Hey, I have a question, and it just happened that you kind of like led into it. But where is Johnny's vaunted management team?
My sense, I don't see him around. If you're asking me, do we see them and are they visible around here? They're not. And that's by the way, that's standard. The NFL is not thrilled with any club having or any club would be more than against the idea that players show up with any of their extended, the attachment of handlers, agents, whatever it might be, marketing people, whatever, that are involved. So they're not around here. I wouldn't say Nathan and I have any sort of real connection with them, and nor would we. Most of what is involved with Johnny's media dealings and club dealings are administered by the club.
Right.
By the Browns, not by anyone on the outside.
Correct.
So if you're bringing up that question also because of, are they involved with trying to tam him down a little bit or warning him that this is a bad look or whatever? I'm not so sure that's their biggest concern. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I think if the whole thing is feeding the beast that is Johnny Manziel in the image, they're probably aboard with that. Would I be going out on a limb to say that? I don't think so.
You're not. And, you know, to the point that where people say, well, why aren't there videos of Bortles and Bridgewater or Derek Carr out there doing things? Johnny Manziel is a media magnet. There's a reason that ESPN talks about Johnny Manziel every day. He is Johnny Football. He is bigger than all three of those guys put together in terms of a media persona. Not even close. I'd argue.
And their teams.
Their teams. Right. Yeah. There are people partying every bit as hard as Johnny Manziel in the National Football League, and people just don't care about them, or the media doesn't care about them like they care about Johnny Manziel. And it is everybody's fault on the consumption side of things, because when you put Johnny Manziel in a headline, it gets more clicks than any other story. Everybody's saying it, every news story, every TV story, etc. It's because the desire to consume information about Johnny Manziel is greater. You're going to get more coverage of him. And the kid, as a 20, put yourself in these shoes just for a second, as a 22-year-old kid, where everything that you do is basically on public record. Everything you do. That's what he's living in. That's why Bortles, Bridgewater, Carp, I'm sorry, people don't care if you had a video of Blake Bortles drinking. Nobody cares. People care about Johnny Manziel. He is a larger-than-life persona. The Browns knew that when they drafted him, that this was going to be a part of the equation when it comes to drafting Johnny Manziel. You didn't hear the building, and you and I were there at right. the draft. Everybody in that building was chanting for Johnny when he finally got drafted.
It shook when everybody, he was drafted.
Every different team's fan that was there chanted for Johnny. Nobody else. That happened for no one else.
Right.
He's different than all these other guys, so there is that higher level of coverage that comes along with him. And that's that. You know, it just it is what it is. All right, when we come back, I'm sure we'll talk about what else? Johnny Manziel with three-time Super Bowl champion Gerard Cherry, who calls in on the Ohio Business Machines hotline for his three topics. Right after this.
Sooner, if the heavens ever did speak.